Ding ding! Connect the dots. Welcome to another edition of Connect the Dots, a podcast that brings people to you from various walks of life, whether they are politicians, business people, they are career persons, etc., to make sure that they give us in-depth of their story, where they started from, those daring aspects of their lives that people don't know about. Because, you know, success story is something that attracts a lot of people. They don't know where you started from. They just see like, oh, this person, boom, she's all over social media. And, you know, because of the advent of social media, people don't really know people's struggle, because what we want people to see is what we post. So today we brought to you someone that is all encompassing, a business person, an activist, a journalist, a TV host, a lot of things, and a politician. And a day job, I would say, is in the Senate, Nigerian Senate, the 9th Senate. And she's no one else but Fatima Zahra Omar, Mrs. And she's popularly known on social media as Zahra Danejo. And it's a very big privilege to have someone with all of this many carbs to grace this edition. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much, because I know you've got really a tight schedule.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. It's people like you that give us the wings to fly all the time. Thank you.
Yes.
So you're wearing so many carbs. And I know that as a northern lady, a Muslim, a mother, a wife, you're doing a lot of things. I know there is a question you don't like to be asked, but I'm going to throw it to you.
I don't like that question. I don't like that
Okay,
question.
The balance. I think I need to do it.
I don't like that. Okay, what do you want to say? Because it's like, you just find yourself doing so many things. And I think like roles overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody asks men, how do you balance family life? I have these kids. I didn't have them alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a father somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure people ask him whether, how do you balance
life and
because
work?
Because I'm sure we're a handful.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't like that question, but it's you, so I will answer it.
Yeah.
I don't really balance it. I kind of just manage my time very well.
Well, mm-hmm.
And I just pray that, you know, like, I hope I don't mess up.
Yeah.
And I can be very monomanic. Like, if I'm focused on something, it's all I think about.
You're able to focus on that.
Yes, you know. So I've been like that for a long time. So when family came, it was just, you know, just join the queue.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of find yourself, it's not the life that I planned for myself.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, the life I thought I was going to be living is, you know, I'd have like a really nice civil service job with one tiny Toyota, you know, just go to work, 9 o'clock, close
by 5 p.m.
come home, make dinner, watch Super Story. But like, it was not, I did not plan to be carrying so many caps.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put it that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, again, my oversavvy is much, so I want to be involved in a lot of things, and I feel like I can contribute to society, you know, a lot of things.
To bring the change.
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah, I went to school to become a lawyer. I did become a lawyer, but I ended up being a woman's lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I somehow ended up doing cases for women in distress.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of became known for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women trying to get a divorce, women trying to get custody, women trying to escape from domestic violence, women seeking justice for their children that have been molested. Somehow, I don't know, I wanted to be a rich lawyer. I don't know. I just ended up doing all these cases.
Yeah, you're cool for it.
Yeah,
I think. Humanity,
I think,
comes first.
I think so. Because, like, it's so, my first marriage, you know, I was young, and then it ended badly. So it kind of, you know, I was always this braggadocious, let me say. So I know what it's like to be like voiceless and
mm-hmm,
be helpless
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
for society
mm-hmm.
to look down on you.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that came out of that is divorce diaries. When I used to write divorce diaries and how we started Jaruma and all that, I had to say something. I had to be, because I fought back,
mm-hmm.
you know, I refused to be kept down. I was
mm-hmm.
not going to take nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So after I fought back, then your friends get divorced, you know what I'm saying? And what am I going to do to help my friend? And narratives, you know, like, stories are powerful. So that's how I ended up doing divorce diaries. It started for my friend, a very dear friend of mine. You know, she had gotten divorced, and I told her, you know, we need to write this. And I was not expecting it to be as popular as it,
as it was.
But then it became popular.
Mm.
And before we knew it, you know, like it became an established series and all that. And then broadcasting.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be a broadcaster.
Mm.
My late dad, he used to work in Radio Borno in the 60s.
Oh, mashallah.
When he was young. Yeah, he was, you know, they used to have something called duty announcer.
Mm-hmm.
So he used to play tapes for me when I was growing up, because mm-hmm. he wanted me to enunciate words like a broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted me to have good diction.
Mm-hmm.
So even before I went to school,
you already doing.
Because my father used to make me read. By the time I started going to school, I could read fairly well.
Wow.
And I could enunciate and diction. So we're Fulani. So my dad, you could not speak any other language apart from English or Fulfulde in the house.
Wow.
It's because of BBC Hausa I know how to speak Hausa. That's just the truth.
Oh my God.
But so I've always wanted to be like that, you know. I've always been fascinated by radio, by TV.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was growing up, Oprah was on TV all the time.
Yeah.
Sally, Jesse, Raphael.
Oh,
and
my
I wanted
God.
A show like Oprah. So fast forward 20 something years later, I'm somewhere in Abuja fighting for custody. And I get a call from BBC and they're like, you know, we really like what you're doing. We'd like you to bring that on the show. Can
wow.
you do a pitch for us? I think at the time it was Issa Sanusi.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you know, but first I want to do an interview with you.
Oh.
So I went. I was so nervous. Like, I grew up listening to radio. So, like, these people that I hear their voices all the time.
Now you're with them.
Okay, Kira.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So, really, like, it was,
Oh my God.
Exactly. So, you know, after the interview, we did a pitch and they liked it. At the time, I think it was Jim Esale that gave us the name Adi Konzamani. And that's basically how it took off. So I just woke up one day, I'm practicing.
Wow.
I'm doing my activism.
You're doing your law?
I'm doing, yeah.
Practicing law.
I'm practicing law. I'm doing my activism. Social media, I've always treated social media like a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So
because we know you there.
I don't really take it that serious, to be mm-hmm. honest, mm-hmm. up till now. But like, before I knew it, you know, it was like, oh, Zara Danejo is all over the place. And then I read a book by Maya Angelou, and she was saying that if in your life you're always a teacher,
mm.
and your life should be like a class.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to use your platforms to teach. And that stuck with me. And that is why I said, you know what, instead of just talking about how desperately I want a Mercedes-Benz
mm-hmm.
and Ribena supply,
yeah.
I could use this platform. How good.
I swear,
and
is that Ribena thing?
Is that Ribena thing? It still goes back to my dad.
Oh know, my God.
I like Ribena because of him. And like, it's crazy now because I lost him in 2020.
Oh,
he died.
May Allah have mercy on
you. And Ribena now has a different significance for
mm.
me. So he was the first person that introduced me to Ribena. It was his best drink. And he used to, like, so it's like all the best memories of my life are punctuated with a
mm.
glass of Ribena. When I was growing up, we didn't have this ready to drink. You had to mix it. Say Anghada.
Yes.
Yes.
With water.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that thick one.
He knew how to make like the perfect
mix
for me,
mm.
for my taste.
Mm.
So I mean, as you can already say, I'm a daddy's girl.
Yeah. Obviously. Obviously.
So yeah, that's how I just kind of ended up doing all these things. And because of my dealings with clients while
mm-hmm.
practicing
mm-hmm.
law, also my father, again, I feel really silly talking about this.
No,
law.
It's fine.
But
totally
my father
fine.
Was one of the people who founded PRP, the People's Redemption Party. So I grew up around political meetings in the house
mm-hmm.
and political arguments and stuff like that. So it was just natural
for me to
somehow
incline towards.
Yeah, somehow end up hanging around people that were politically inclined. And
mm-hmm.
you know, you can be an activist all you want, but you have to have a seat at the table.
Absolutely.
To
make decisions.
Exactly.
Very
so,
key important decisions.
So that's really just how I ended up
like so this. Wow, this is a lot.
It's
a politician,
a,
a businesswoman,
yeah,
a social activist, I suppose.
The hustle is real.
It's
the
real.
Hustle is real.
Politics and
yeah.
all of that.
Yeah.
So you know, we've spoken about a lot. You've try to summarize all you do, like, in this time that we've spent. But let's focus on law.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay.
You know, practicing law in Nigeria is somewhat tricky. That's the way I see it, because I'm a journalist too, and I know the way it is. Because you know the truth, and someone pay you to defend a false stuff or something like that.
That's so not how it works. Let me just, like, let me correct this impression. So when it comes to courts, there is nothing like the truth.
Oh, wow.
What is important is evidence and the strength of your argument.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, there's law and then there's morality. There are two different things. Sometimes they might overlap. But when it comes to the court, honestly, what happens is the person... So there's something we call a burden of proof. So if you have a case, if you don't satisfy that burden of proof, you may not get justice. You may not. But if you satisfy that burden of proof, you may get justice. Justice is not straightforward. It's not one of those things where it's A or B. Sometimes it can be A, but W is in the middle. You know, that's it's complicated. It's not as black and white as people outside see. When people say, oh, you know, you take money from criminals to defend them, there's a problem with that, because if you're in a democracy, you're being run under a constitution. And constitutionally, everybody is entitled to a defense. Everybody is entitled to defend themselves when they are being accused of something. Whether or not you agree with that is not relevant. But there is no way you, like, bring someone to court and there won't be an advocate for him. Because lawyers, that's what we are. We are advocates.
For people.
Exactly. Sometimes, you know, it's confusing for lay people to see, but I gagaskiana, why did the judge? Sometimes it happens like that, but people also forget that there are two sides that are arguing. Think about it as like debates pro max. You remember debates in school?
Yes.
It doesn't mean that the best debater actually believes what they're saying. It just means that they stated a better case. So I want people to stop this thing of the truth is no. When you go to court,
there is no
what
truth.
Determines what happens is the preponderance of evidence, the strength of the evidence, the admissibility of the evidence, and then the arguments that you accompany the evidence with, and what is also available under the law. So for example, there are things that are morally wrong but are legally not wrong. And they are not legally right also, but like they are not legally wrong. They may be immoral to us, you know, but you cannot send somebody to prison for those things, for example. So that's how law is. And practice is hard. If, like, I want to say this for, like, maybe the young lawyers that are watching this, especially the women who are from the north, there's very few of us, and it's sad. Like in my class group in law school, there were like 9 of us that were from the north. Only 2 of us, let me just say, even only 1 of us is practicing full-time, because me, I'm one person, everybody else has. It's very time consuming when you are starting out, and it's very hard and it pays little. People need to understand that. So stop billing your lawyer friends. We don't have money. It pays really little. You know, you finish law school, you have your degree, and you're being paid 50,000 naira in Abuja. You know, by the time you pay transport costs, what's left?
Nothing.
You know, I used to be able to only buy Bend Down Select because I need to say to wear to court, because, you know, we have like what we have to wear.
It's more like a uniform.
Exactly. One of my friends was like, you don't have to be going to Bend Down Select. If you have black abaya, they now allow black abaya. Thank God for Justice Mariam Aluma Mukhtar when she was CJS. So we started wearing our black abaya. So I can wear the black abaya for 3 days straight. Nobody will know. But lawyers, when you're starting out, there's no money. There's no money. You're paid very little. And you do all the foundational work that senior advocates go to court with.
Definitely.
Yeah, and you're constantly like... Kisa is like an apprenticeship, you know. So you're constantly like at the beck and call of your oga.
True.
If you are lucky, you have an oga that's generous.
Yeah.
Thank God for you.
If not,
sorry to you.
No.
So like I was one of those people that was going to there used to be this Bendel Select Market, I used to go there every Sunday
to go and check
I'll buy suits, I'll buy white shirts, I'll buy skirts. Yes, sometimes even shoe. You have to wear court shoe because not every shoe they allow in court.
Yeah.
And then, but you know, I was lucky. I had experience because, like I told you, I was divorced. And instead of sitting at home at the time, I decided to go and look for a job. And I got an internship in a law firm, very prestigious law firm. So I already had savings. By the time I came out of law school, I wasn't broke.
Oh, wow.
I had been saving my salary from that internship.
Wow.
And what will amaze you is that the internship paid me more than when I was like a full-time lawyer.
That's the thing. Because I would say that for my NYC year, I was getting just 50,000 because 19,800 from federal government and 30,000 from my organization. Uh-huh. When I got my first job, was 40,000. I was like, whoa.
The internship was really sweet. And like, it helped me do well, like in law school, because
it sharpened you.
Exactly. So at the time, I feel like I need to say this. At the time, you know how it is, you know, you're divorced and everybody's looking at you like it's your fault.
Yeah.
And you know, you're like a disgrace to the family. I'm the first in my family to get a divorce.
Oh my God.
I mean, my family.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's talking about you. I needed to do well to prove to myself that I was worthy.
Yeah, you are.
I wanted to prove to myself. So, whatever it took, I was going to do it.
You know that self-consciousness?
Yes.
I love the fact that you're taking it from myself, not to please anyone or to prove anyone
wrong. So I stopped doing that. I didn't want to please anybody, but like, I needed to prove to myself that, madam, you have to do well for yourself.
First.
You have to make sure that you're okay for yourself and make sure that you do well. Because these people don't like you anymore, you know. Because you know, when you are divorced, it's like a social displacement.
Yeah,
you don't belong with the young women.
You don't belong with the married women. Yeah.
So you are just there hanging. Yeah, Angie Biki, you don't know
where to hang out with. Absolutely, you're just in between.
You are in between. And you feel like everybody's talking about you. You're, and it's always your fault.
Yeah, usually, you know? Usually.
So for me, like, I want to talk about this. If you are starting out, don't feel like you're missing anything. Life is in stages.
I used to jump bus. And it takes resilience. Wow.
I used to take and I'm saying this also again, people might say that I come from a privileged background, but I still had to do those things for
myself. Because you want to do things for yourself. Yes. Because you would have just relaxed and say, oh, there is something to fall back on.
I did not wait for daddy to save me. I saved myself.
That's really lovely.
Yeah.
Mashallah.
So like I need, especially young women watching this, nobody's coming to save you.
At all. Nobody.
Uh-huh.
You will be the one to save yourself.
Yeah.
So we'll go on a short break. When we return, we start with personality tests. The personality test is, it's really simple. We use tea flavors to know. But I know she's a Ribena person, so apparently we do Ribena. Yo, right? Welcome back to this podcast where we're talking and getting those daring moments aspect of sister, Mrs. Let me bring Mrs. because I don't want you guys to feel like there is an open door. It's important to me because I know there are people that are, well, you know, looking around to know, oh, who is the single lady and all of that.
I'm not single.
She's not single.
But I can mingle.
Yeah, she can. You know, business is open. Collaborations open. Everything open. You think you can do to bring money, you know, the legal way, we're all open to that. So welcome back. We're together with Sister Fatima Zahra Umar, popularly known as Zahra Danijo, and she's been talking to us about the career path she chose, the journey to this point and all. So quickly, we are doing a personality test, and it's usually with tea bags and flavor. And now that we know she's a Ribena person, oh my God, let's stick with it. I think I saw something like that. I'm not so sure. But you just choose between the flavors, strawberry.
I don't like strawberry because I feel like Strawberries are a scammer fruit. You know how when you're growing up, strawberry flavor yogurt. The first time I ate a strawberry, I was so disappointed.
Pointed.
Yes,
same,
like the actual strawberry.
Yeah.
So strawberries are cancelled.
It's kind of sour.
Yes, it's not sweet and it doesn't even smell like that.
Yeah.
You know how the smell of... Do you know
the flavor?
You said you
yeah.
grew up in Kaduna.
Yes.
Do you remember Diza?
Yes,
on,
I do.
On that, is it Isa Keita?
Yes, Isa Keita Road.
Is it Isa, no, it's not Isa
Keita Road.
The one
I think
that will take you to Jabi Road. That road now that will take you to Balarabe Musa's house. What's the name of that road? Badawaki Road, ba.
It's not. You
hey,
know,
but
because
you
know I know the one you're talking about. You know Abuja, we
so
we've forgotten
used to have
our roads.
Palm fresh yogurt.
Yogurt, yeah.
And
strawberry flavor.
And it smelled so nice.
Nice.
And it tasted so nice. So imagine my disgust and disappointment.
When you tasted
yes,
the real
I was
strawberry.
Like, what is this?
What is it?
So strawberries
this
are cancelled.
This is calm. Okay.
So give me
cancelled.
Another food.
Mint.
I like mint, yeah.
You like
okay,
mint. Okay, so
no,
usually...
mint tastes like toothpaste, no.
Oh my goodness. What are you saying, Jasmine?
No mint. It's too bougie, man. It's too elite. Do you is have black currant?
Yes, there is.
Black currant is currant.
Okay, it is.
It's okay.
So usually this is something that we do to tickle the fancy of people who come on the podcast.
Eh.
Say, okay, so black currant. You're a sugar person, obviously.
Honey, actually.
Yeah.
I'm old now, so.
You do? Okay,
yes.
Fine. So, you know, when you say sugar, people try to say, oh, we want our life to be as tasteful as sugar. So that's...
Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
What is the fun in that?
What is the fun in it? That's what I say to...
You gotta be in the trenches, man.
Oh my God.
No, you have to taste the bitter parts to enjoy the sweet
part. The sweet part.
And your life can like you did not write your life story.
No.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't expect life to be sweet,
sweet
like sugar.
Like sugar.
And sugar is actually bad for you.
For your
stop taking sugar,
too.
Drink honey.
Yeah, so now we know that she's now in that healthy living
yes,
style.
Please. Yes,
so
please.
That's the personality test today. We got to understand that she is a healthy living person.
Yeah,
and
but black currant tea.
Yeah. It's
or like hibiscus tea.
Tea. Mm-hmm.
Which is
natural
just Zobo.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah,
it's
so
funny.
Oh, so we're bringing okay. that, don't worry, because she's a Ribena person. She's
mm-hmm.
getting a pack of Ribena today.
They didn't scam. They didn't give me
scam. Okay, yeah, so let's get back into the business.
All
of,
right,
the conversation today.
Yeah.
We've spoken about law,
mm-hmm.
which I know that you tried to clear a bit of the misconception that
yeah.
I have, because I used to think in the light of, oh, my deen, what I practice,
mm-hmm.
the alignment between the law and the practice. But now I've got a bit of better
mm-hmm.
Scope of what it is
mm-hmm.
to practice law. That is not always truth. You need evidence. That's
mm-hmm.
the most important thing. So let's get into the business of politics.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Let's go.
So politics,
yeah.
as a young woman, politics in Nigeria is a tricky game. You've got the, oh, she's a female, she's supposed to be in the kitchen, oh,
mm.
she's not supposed to be in the forefront
mm.
and all of that. And we need women to be on the table
mm-hmm.
of decision making to
mm-hmm.
change the narrative that
mm-hmm.
women can be doctors and
mm-hmm.
you still thrive as
yeah.
family person.
Yeah.
Women can be politicians
yeah.
and give their quota to
yeah.
developing the country,
yeah.
the nation, or where they're from and stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think about women in politics in this generation of ours? Because I knew there is a 35% affirmation and all of that, and there is the back and forth as a young
you know,
woman.
The thing about politics,
mm.
whether you are a young woman or you're an old woman
mm-hmm.
or, you know, like older woman,
yeah.
the misogyny is so casual.
It is.
I'm currently supporting a candidate in Adamawa State.
Mm-hmm.
And it will shock you the depths of the misogyny. I don't really want to talk about that, you know, because it's in court, but like I will tell you that the misogyny is so casual
mm-hmm.
that even after all these years of being in politics,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it still shocks me. Yena Banus Oro.
Wow.
Because, and like it comes from people you don't even expect it from.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if you want to run, sometimes you'll do all the right things, and then they will tell you, you know what,
because
you tick all the boxes,
that...
you would be a fantastic man in office, but you're a woman. Sorry,
oh my goodness.
Or can we, you know, I have a friend that's 2015.
Mm-hmm.
She won her elections. She won her primaries. She's from a northern state. She won her primaries.
One election.
She won her elections. And then the governor of the state took her ticket and gave it to her husband. Her husband ended up coming to the National Assembly and serving her term. Her husband. It got to a point where, like, we need to talk to somebody man to man. Yeah, I know. It happens. I hope one day she will tell her story, because I feel like when you're on the outside, you're a bit idealistic. People are idealistic. People are idealistic and they feel like, oh, what are all these women doing? Come on. It's a gang up.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie to you, Halima. It's a gang up, and it's like there's constantly boundaries in your way. No matter how privileged you are, there will always be someone who will remind you that you are not supposed to be in that space.
Who?
So apart from all the normal shenanigans of Nigerian politics, we have the added burden of dodging all those bombs they throw at us. Because you're not meant to be there. Now, when they accept that you're meant to be there, they are blind to your gender.
Oh, wow.
So this blindness to gender is a double-edged sword. It works in the sense that you are allowed to do your job in peace, Kingani, and you are not being judged because of what genitals you were born with. But it can be problematic when, for example, you're pregnant or you are going to have a baby. So, like, if you have a baby and it's campaign season, and let's say maybe you are director of logistics, they will replace you like this. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you chose to have children. So it comes like at a cost. And this is a wider conversation we need to have, because being a woman, natural woman, it comes at a cost for your career. It does. If you decide to have children at certain points, some of my colleagues literally have to time when
to have children. Kids.
Yes. So, you know, okay, we just want the election. Okay, we have 4 years in office. Oh my God, I have to have 2 kids in 4 years. So that by the time we're ready for a campaign and we're ready
the
for
the baby
this,
is winged.
At least the baby is winged, I can go to the campaign.
Oh my God.
And this is one of the things that makes me respect one of my mentors, Hadiza Bala Usman. I remember when she was running in 2007. She just had a son. She's her first son. And she was backing him. They were calling her Megoyo in Kazina. Yeah, she was backing him. In fact, it was so popular. We said, okay, I'm going to snap picture with my son on my back and, you know, her posters and everything. Because I cannot change who I am to fit into it. You're going to have to make exceptions for me. And I was lucky, honestly. I was very lucky, because the person that mentored me and held my hand is Nasir El-Rufai, Governor Nasir El-Rufai. And for him, it's like, you know, you're talented. I don't care what gender you are.
Yeah.
You're good enough, so get in the field, get in the trenches, do the work.
Wow.
And, you know, if anybody wants to do nonsense with you, I'm here. I'm going to stand.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I was young and he put me on a platform, put me on an opportunity. You know, I was serving on a convention committee. I was 27, Nico 26, you know.
Wow.
So, Erin, unless you are lucky to have a powerful man stand behind you, and yes,
it won't be an easy task.
So what they do is, if there's a powerful man that's standing behind you, when they see you, they see his power.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the problem now is, what happens when you have differences with that powerful man? You understand? So your male colleagues, sometimes they will have differences with the powerful man who is like your godfather, but you want to be your own woman, you know. Sometimes you don't want to be in somebody's shadow.
No.
Sometimes you feel like, I've grown up. Mimana Isa. And you know, after a while, you become a leader in your own right.
Absolutely.
You understand? But why should your respect be dependent on the respect
someone?
Of, so I have a friend also, you know, her Oga just decided to decamp, leave the ruling party, and people kept insulting her.
That she didn't leave with the
she
man.
Left with him. And then when he came back, he dragged her back. He's back in his what do you call it now, in his position. But she's there. People are calling her all sorts of names.
Oh my God.
Essentially, the anger is, how dare you. The bottom line of the misogyny is, how dare you. If you want to go into politics, honestly, make sure you have mentors that stand by you. and make sure that you are very, very observant.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want you to become a yes woman and just say, Oga, okay, she can run kind of
angama.
But I want you to have a mind of your own, but like you have to have like that balance.
Yeah.
Because one little slip, and you know, even in media and everything we see with women,
mm-hmm.
we're held to a higher standard,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
generally. Your mistakes are unforgivable.
They are.
You know, you, but men, you know, they get away with a lot, but you are constantly on a higher pedestal.
Absolutely.
And you have to work twice as hard to be seen. True. And you know, like for us in Northern Nigeria, I tell you one story. During 2019, I was campaigning in Kaduna. I got carried away. I'm campaigning. So I was in the middle of a car. I was out of the roof of the car with my shirt and my trouser and my campaign cap. And I was removing the cap and I was waving it around and I was campaigning. And it was in my hood. I grew up in Kabbalah Kostin.
Oh, wow.
So it was in Kostin. These are my people. These are people I grew up with. So, you know, of course, the energy is charged and everything. And I'll never forget, people took pictures and sent to my late dad. And they said, you know, she's a disgrace to the family. My family back home is well known for, we're originally from Adamawa State, so, you know, we're well known for being scholars and, you know, professors and stuff like that. And here it is, their daughter. And here it is, their daughter jumping on a truck in the middle of Kostin.
Yes,
campaigning. Like, how can you allow her
to do this
like this? This is an embarrassment to the family. And you know, he said, "Well, you know, if she was a son, you'd be proud of her."
True.
And I was.
That's the perfect reply.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, "You know, if she was a son." So he was like, you know, next time you want to go out, I'm going to come with you. If you are going to go, I'm going to come with you.
Wow.
And I'm so happy that, you know, you, because I love people. And campaigning allows me to meet my
people,
to connect with my people, especially women, because that's my constituency.
Wow.
You know, so there's already that conception that you are a useless person.
Mm-hmm.
You are somebody's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You are Iran's girl.
Yes. You are a prostitute. Oh, my God.
So I used to think, if I didn't remarry, they will be looking at me like a runs girl. But then I thought about it. Some people, they are still married, they still sleep around.
So smart.
Yeah, so like, I don't care. You can say what you like about me. You, if you want to be successful as a woman in any field, you have to liberate yourself from the fear of what people
say.
Be cool. Just throw it away. Face your life.
If
you are constantly thinking about what people will say, you will not get anywhere.
Nowhere.
And you can never please people.
Absolutely.
But then I continued. And people don't realize how important it is. If you show up, they remember you.
They remember you. Yeah.
Kingari,
you leave us.
Yes. So you cannot say you are doing politics, but you don't want to be seen.
No.
And then people are like, oh my God, who's going to marry her now? Hey, she's a divorcee. They are seeing her around a governor.
Yeah.
They are seeing her with that governor. Because I was serving in different committees.
Wow.
And because I'm a lawyer, in lots of those committees, I'll be a secretary. From the chairman, it's next to me. And of course, you make sure that you make the most of that opportunity. You make sure that you do well. So that the person coming after you will get that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Before they will say, I can't matter nengenda suki.
Suki.
Even that Zara, that's how she came and messed up. So I'm very conscious, like, whatever I'm doing, I'm helping somebody that's coming behind me, not even for myself. But if you are constantly thinking about people, say you never move forward.
Oh.
So if you want to join politics, or if you're already in politics and you're watching this, you must liberate yourself from what people say.
Same.
And you have to define, why are you even in politics?
What change are you trying to make?
Initially, I was very idealistic. I felt like I could move change, I could do this, I could do that. But I've realized that change is what do you call
it's a gradual process.
Yes, it's a gradual process. I came with my communism and my Marxism in my head and disrupts the system. That's one of the reasons why I even stopped attending all these women conferences. But that's the story for another day. I just realized we talk a lot and then we don't really do much.
True.
Because the work is a lot.
It's a lot. And it's something that you need to create milestones, smaller milestones to achieve.
So recently, I spoke about this at the BBC. Right? Recently, we did a constitutional amendment. And it's directly under my office. Senior advisor as to gender to the Senate president. So we had like 6 gender bills. Helping women, and the one that was most important to me was the one that was going to make it compulsory for political parties to have at least 95%
of women
of political positions
for women,
ESCO positions,
mm-hmm.
as women. So for me, it was very important because I understood how party administration
works.
So if I had just come from somewhere speaking my English, Kinga, I wouldn't even understand.
You wouldn't understand.
Because what that does is, I want to talk about this especially because if you open up the space for political participation, ESCO,
mm-hmm.
it's not only woman leader they will give us.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, some states you can even get chairman, like my state, we had a female chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Party chairman. People move from party chairman to become members, to become senators, mm-hmm. to become governors, mm-hmm. to become mm-hmm. vice president.
Mm-hmm.
If you open up that space, naturally women will emerge.
Definitely.
Acquire very, very capable women.
That can but take if, on the roles.
Exactly. And they can protect us. They can protect other women mm-hmm. when there's that gang up. Because mm-hmm. they would have reached a level of influence and power also
mm-hmm.
by holding the party machinery.
Yeah.
But if you are limiting us to woman leader, that's one position in the National Working Committee.
Wow.
Out of maybe, I think it's 28 positions, we only have one that we are sure of, apart from the zonal positions, mm-hmm. that zonal woman leader, again. But if you open it up, I know somebody like Hadiza Bola Usman, can you tell us, come and do woman leader?
No.
You understand? No. You can make her party chairman, mm-hmm. why not?
Because she's capable.
She is, exactly, mm-hmm. why not? So, people were concentrating, all these NGOs, and I'm still holding that grudge, you know. People were concentrating on, let's increase more seats. Let's give women 111 additional seats.
Oh.
That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Where's the money? You're already saying the country is broke.
And then you want to add more burden.
Who's going to pay for that?
Mm-hmm.
And then why is the qualification for that seat my genitals? Because I have a uterus, mm-hmm. Women can be dumb. Women can be impossibly criminal.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Why is the only criteria that, oh, I'm just a woman?
A female.
No, it has to be. But if you open up the space, people who should be there, they will emerge.
Mm-hmm.
As it is now, we have 108 senators. Only 6 are women.
Women. And
we
only
have 360 members of the House of Representatives. Only 14 are women.
Wow.
Please, how can they hear our voices?
Even
if you are screaming at the top of your lungs, nobody will hear you and nobody will take you serious.
Absolutely.
You know? So you have to play the long game. You have to work twice as hard. And mm-hmm. you have to forget what people will say. If they call you Rosgirl, na dem sabi. No be person born Rosgirl.
Ah, na person.
So,
na person.
You know?
Even they if
you are
a Rosgirl,
maybe you are bringing value to the table.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That what you do with your personal life has nothing to
do with
exactly.
the job that you're supposed to discharge.
And there's always this double standard. Remember when there was a tip of a senator, I don't want to call names.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, it's my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if he was like
Senator Aisha Al-Hassan or somebody. God.
That's the her children's life, her grandchildren's life.
So everything.
If there's not enough of us, how can we break the stereotype? How can people look at us and say, okay, there's enough of them now. I understand their struggle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know.
True.
So don't say politics is only for dirty people.
Mm-hmm. It's not.
Is not.
We all need to be involved.
Honestly.
Mm.
Because
to change the narrative.
Again, nobody's going to
save us.
Nobody.
I see. Yeah. You've spoken a lot. The daring aspect of your life. Because a lot of times I want people to understand that this is where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I knew I've learned a lot of lesson. Mm-hmm. Maybe there is a message you want to push to the young people out there quickly before we call it a wrap.
Life is in stages, man.
Mm-hmm.
Life is in stages and nobody's going to save you.
Yeah. I think that's the phrase for today.
Nobody's going to save you.
Nobody's coming to save you. Yeah.
I blame Disney, you know, because
oh yeah.
Growing up we were watching and the prince
is coming.
No, my dear, there's no prince.
No prince.
There's no prince. There's no Prince Charming that's
no
coming
prince
to
Charming.
Save you.
And you're honestly, not a Cinderella, please.
Honestly, there's no substitute for hard work.
Mm.
And I know you look at people and you think, oh, they've made it. They have this and they have that. I don't think money should be a measure of success.
Mm-hmm,
but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can say such nonsense because I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make money, but it shouldn't come at the price of your conscience.
Absolutely.
Like, you should be known for your principles. That is why the country is racism.
Absolutely.
Everybody just does what they like. But you should remember that life is in stages. If you are jumping Abuja bus today, tomorrow you could be driving a Benz. And honestly, there's a reason why you go through certain stages in life, because they prepare you
for
certain things. I give you an example. If you jump bus, then you have your car. It's easier for you to relate with people who jump bus.
True.
You can never be arrogant.
Yeah.
Because you've been there.
You've been there.
You know. And you will know the value of a human being.
Absolutely.
And there is nothing more important than recognizing somebody's humanity.
True.
You understand? Even all these issues we're having with women is because fundamentally society refuses to recognize us as human beings.
True.
We are only seen as wives or mothers. And if you are none of that, you are deemed that you're not valuable.
You're not valuable.
Exactly.
It's so sad.
So there are things that stages in life happen so you can be prepared for, you know, the life that you're supposed to live. And you have to take it easy. All these Yahoo people are doing, all this money should not, you shouldn't sell
quick money.
It doesn't work. Even if you get the quick money to finish,
it will finish because you don't know the value.
Easy come, easy go. So build yourself, go to school. Please go to school. I've been hearing people say, oh, you know, because of ASUU strike, me, I'm not going back to school in Kenya. I'm not. Please go to school. Go to school.
It's important.
It's very important. Because school is like, it's not just your certificate. It's also social skills.
Yes, it is.
It's also,
it's like your security too.
Yes. Always have certificates, no matter what. Even if you are in politics, you know that there are things they cannot even appoint you for some things if you don't have that certificate. They'll say, I better take another one. You see, so you lose the slot to someone else. So go to school, be educated, learn about things. You are lucky you grow up in an age where information is at your fingertips.
Yeah.
Learn about things. Not every time TikTok and who is insulting who and who dated who. No. You can learn so much and you can build capacity for yourself that you can bring value
to other people and yourself
and
too.
And yourself. Yeah. And you can even build yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Many thanks. And this is where we draw the curtain on Connect the Dot this week. Definitely we are bringing Sister Zara back because there's a lot to talk about. And I believe that there is something that we should be doing in collaboration to be able to change the whole mindset and narrative in Northern Nigeria, especially with young women. It's not all about marrying rich man or being from a rich family. Sometimes there is this pride you get in when you make your own money and all of that, and you'll be able to speak eloquently and let people know, I went through all of this, just like Sister Zara said to us, the stages, jumping buses, campaigning in the middle of costing and all of that. It's a lot of things. Many thanks. See you again next week and connect the dots with us again. Ding, ding.